Now let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17, a familiar scripture. And most of us know this particular scripture. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things," say all things, "are become new." And so we can see here, as we've discussed in past lessons, that God made man in his image and his likeness. In Genesis 1:27, it said, "God made man in his image and likeness." And so we can see from there that man is made in the image and likeness of God. John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says that God is a spirit, and those that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God is a spirit, and we're made in the image and likeness of God, then that makes us a spirit, even though we have a soul and we live in this body. So you can see that when this says here, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Well, Paul is saying he is a new creature. Who is he? It's certainly not his body, because if you were short, you're still short. If you're tall, you're still tall. If you're fat, you're still fat. If you're skinny, you're still skinny. And I'm not going to say if you're ugly, but if... I'm just kidding. But your outward didn't change. So when he says he is a new creature, he's talking about the spirit of a man is brand new. And it said all things are passed away, all things have become new. So your outward didn't change. And so if this, we're made in the image and likeness of God, so God is a spirit, we have a soul and we live in a body. So your body didn't change, your soul didn't change, but your spirit became brand new. This spirit man is made in such a way where eternal life has come into my spirit. So this is available for anyone. Anywhere, anyone, that means at any time. So this is not for any special group or person. That means any man, any woman, any child, you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've become in Christ. The minute you've accepted Christ, you become in Christ, and you become a brand new person. Your spirit becomes brand new. So this word new, and I'm taking some of the definitions that, if you go online, anybody that if you're interested, you just go to BibleStudyTools.com or BibleGateway.com. Any of these online tools, you can look up scripture, and you can click a little button, and you can look at selected words in that scripture. You can look at the Hebrew if it's in the Old Testament, or you can look at that word in the Greek, and it will give you the definition, because we're not all Greek scholars. So we don't read Greek Bibles, so we need to look these things up. So sometimes when you read it in the King James Version, it'll say one thing, but it means something different in the Greek. So this word new means unheard of before. It means new in quality and kind. It means something unprecedented. Boy, I like that word. That means it had no precedent. There was no precedent set before for who you've become. That means the life that's in you right now, that spirit that's been changed, that means that there's something done that was done in you that had no example before. There was no precedent set for this. It's unprecedented. Isn't that something? That this life, this eternal life that has come in and changed my spirit, it's brand new. That means it's unheard of before. It's never been created before. I'm brand new. Wow. Isn't that exciting? So you're not just a new person. You are a new kind of person that never existed before, or you've been, it's unheard of before. So you're brand new. Never existed before. So think about this. What kind of creature or person are you? You can no longer say, you know how people say this? Look, I'm only human. You can't say that anymore. No longer can you say anymore, I'm just human. You can say now, I'm also human, but I'm also supernaturally changed, right? In other words, you're not just human. I'm also human, but I also have what? The same Spirit of God in me that raised Christ from the dead. He raised me from the dead. So I'm no longer just a human. I'm also human. But I'm a new person in Christ. I'm brand new. So you're not just a forgiven sinner. You're a new creature, a new creation with the life of God in you. You've got God's nature in you. Isn't that something? Listen to some of these other translations. It says here, this is the New International. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. The Phillips translation says, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. It's gone. There's no, you have no past with that where God is concerned. Everything has become fresh and new. The Contemporary English Version says, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten. Everything is new. A man in Christ is a partaker of the life and nature of God. So a man in Christ partakes of eternal life. They partake of the life of God. Life that comes from God and that dwells in us is a supernatural kind of life. It's a life that is present possession. Think about this. When you get eternal life, when you ask Christ into your heart, this is something that we possess now. It's a present possession. Think about this. You know how people, some denominations, I was growing up around the Catholic Church, they said, you know, when you get to heaven, you'll get eternal life. Too late. If you do good and you do all the right things, God will usher you in and you will have eternity and eternal life. Too late. What we have is now. Amen. It's a present possession. He that hath the Son hath life. When do you have the Son? Now. So it's a present possession. It's not something that you get when you die. Eternal life is something you have now inside of you, residing in you, if you accept the Son. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. See? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God, hath not life. So when we have the Son, we have life. Isn't that exciting? God sees us through the blood of Jesus. He looks at you as though you never did anything wrong. Now I'm going to share something. This is something that Mark Hankin shared. He's a minister of the gospel, travels worldwide. He was the pastor. His son is pastoring, but he has a church down in Louisiana. He said this. He said, as he and his wife traveled and saw many religions in different countries, he compared them. And he saw that many of the religions had many good elements to them, or good things about them. And he said, and he asked the Lord about this. And he said, and the Lord said to him, all religions offer lessons, but only Jesus Christ gives life.
Yes, hallelujah.
Oh boy. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Oh yes. So there are many good qualities about all religions, and they offer lessons, but they don't offer life. Only Christianity, only being in Christ, offers you eternal life and a touch of eternity. Only being in Christ. Hallelujah. So he said, all religions try to teach and try to help, but only Jesus Christ gives life. Jesus came to give us more than a lesson. He came to give us life. And this eternal life, this God kind of life, is what makes you a new person. Not lessons. Not help. It's only in asking Jesus. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Hallelujah. So this eternal life is a present possession that we have. It's the same life that raised Christ from the dead. God gave us this overcoming, supernatural resurrection life. He gave it to us. Hallelujah. It's the same life that's in Christ. It's the same life that's in God. It's the same life that's in heaven. Eternal life, eternity, is the same life that's in us, in Christ. Hallelujah. This is the same life that made Jesus a master over all the works of the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. So this life that's in us, this eternal life, will develop your spirit. It will illuminate your mind.
Yes.
It will increase your intellect.
Yes.
It will make you smarter.
Right.
It will enhance your personality. It will resist sickness and disease in your body. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. So to live in the consciousness of it, you need to acknowledge it. You need to know about it, meditate on it, and declare it.
Yes.
You need to say, I have the life of God in me. I have his life. I have his nature. I have his ability residing in me. Hallelujah. Turn over to Philemon for a minute, just before Hebrews. Philemon, verse 6. There's only one chapter, but just go over there. Philemon, or we could say Philemon chapter 1. And look at verse 6. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the what? Acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, what? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So you've got to, it's the communication of your faith. Listen to this from some other translations. This is one called the Laubach, L-A-U, B-A-C-H, Laubach translation. It says, I pray that everyone who meets you may catch your faith and learn from you how wonderful it is to live in Christ. Oh boy, that's communicating it. Communication of your faith and acknowledging it. So people, in other words, your faith is contagious. Listen to the Amplified. It says, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. So you may look like a regular person on the outside, but on the inside you have the life of Christ. You are a brand new creature in Christ. You know, it was funny. I was listening to Mark Hankins. He made this comment. I thought it was funny. He said, Hollywood has its fantasies about Superman and Wonder Woman. Yeah, we think about that. He said, but if there ever was a Superman and Wonder Woman, it's a person that's become in Christ. Because the minute you become in Christ, you now have powers residing in you that you don't even know of. You're not even aware of them. Hallelujah. So this Pauline revelation was not just for Paul, it was for us. And the minute we begin to see this revelation of what Paul saw, we'll produce the same results as Paul produced. Amen. This is what a new person in Christ is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in Christ, you have a divine destiny. And your destiny is tied to your identity. Who you've become in Christ begins to paint your destiny. Hallelujah. So your identity is key. You're a new creature in Christ. It's no longer I that liveth. What does it say? I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but what? Christ lives in me. So when he was crucified, I was crucified. And then it goes over in Ephesians, and it says, when he was raised from the dead, we were raised. So I was crucified with him. I died with him on that cross. I went to hell with him. He went to hell. We went to hell with Christ. Well, I'm still here. But it says in Scripture, we were raised together with him. And what? Seated in heavenly places, that in the ages to come, this grace would be revealed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here's another scripture. Turn over to Romans 5 and chapter 20. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, we've heard this scripture here. It says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Yes. Listen to this translation. It's called the Lovett, L-O-V-E-T-T translation. It says, God's work in Christ far exceeds any damage done to us by Adam's fall. Oh, God's grace, his work in Christ, far exceeds any damage done to us by Adam's fall. Here's the point. Stop looking at the damage done. Start looking at who you are in Christ. Stop looking at what the devil did to you in your life. Look at Christ. Look who you've become in him. You're a brand new person. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm brand new. I've got a touch of heaven inside of me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. So God's given us this new quality of life in Christ. He's given us his own life, the very same life that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. You can see that in Romans 8:11. He's given us eternal life. And this gift of God is eternal life. That's Romans 6:23. But this life, let's turn over to John 10:10 for a moment. John 10:10. And you're familiar with this scripture. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that" what? That's the whole reason Jesus came. It was to defeat the devil, but it was to give us life. "I have come that" what? "They may have life and have it more abundantly." I like this. This is the Wuest translation, W-U-E-S-T. It says, "I alone came in order that they might be possessing life, and that they might be possessing it in superabundance." Hallelujah. So I've got life in me. I've got eternity in me. I've got eternal life inside me right now. So there's no situation that I confront that I can't overcome it. I've got eternity. I've got eternal life living in me.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So a man in Christ is a man with the life of God. It says you're not deity, but you're not only human either. You have been born of God. You have his very own life. You have Zoe, eternal life. Now, John 10:10, when it says here, "you may have life," that word life, that word is Zoe. It means the God kind of life. It means eternal life. That's what that word means. So, for God, he gave us his very nature. And one of the things that's interesting is that if you look at John, I believe it's John chapter 5. Let me just check that reference. I believe it's John 5. Yeah, John 5:26. It says, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in his self." But the minute we accepted Christ, we got his life. We got the life of Christ in us. It's the same life that's in the Father. It's the same life that's in Christ that's residing inside of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel sorry for the devil, because we've got God living on the inside of us. And we need to walk around saying it. That's why when it says in Philemon that the communication of your faith is effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in me. What good thing? I've got Christ living in me. I have his life. I have eternity living in me. I'm no longer just only human. I am a new creature. I'm a new person in Christ. Hallelujah. I think different. I'm bright. I'm smart. My mind is illuminated. My body is strong. My spirit is brand new. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that exciting? I don't just go through life trying to deal with all of the issues of life. I'm an overcomer in Christ. In Christ, I can overcome. In Christ, I can deal with. I'll know what to do, because he knows what to do. Think about this. You have eternal life in you. You've got a genius living inside of you. That makes me bright. That makes me sharp. That makes me a genius.
Yes, it does.
Because he lives in me. Hallelujah. And we need to say that. We need to decree it. That when I come up against something I don't know what to do, you say, I'll know what to do. Because God lives in me. Life lives in me. Eternal life lives in me and floods my spirit, and I'll know what to do. It illumines my mind and my intellect. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, go over to Ephesians chapter 1 for a minute and look at... We know this particular scripture, Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse 16. It says, "Cease not to give thanks for you." This is Paul. To the church at Ephesus, he said, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding," what? Being enlightened. How could that be? Because of the life of God that's in me. "The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that" what? "You may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance," what? "In the saints." This is being in Christ. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he" what? "He wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things," what? "To the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." His fullness fills me. Hallelujah. Listen to this translation. This is called the Distilled Translation, D-I-S-T-I-L-L-E-D, Distilled, in Ephesians 1:16. It says, "I pray that you new Christians will understand the mighty position with Christ which your congregations occupy." So God is saying we need to understand the mighty position that we have. Who? In Christ. In Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I want to take a few moments, just a few moments, to kind of touch on the three parts of man. In other words, explain the difference between spirit and soul and body. We are a spirit being. We have a soul and we live in a body. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. There you go, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. I'm going to read this out of the King James Version. So we're going to look at, what does the Bible have to say about us here, right, in this body? This is a Bible interpretation here. It says, "For the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit," say spirit, and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see here the Bible is saying, of course we know in Genesis 1:27, God said he made us in his image and likeness. But this here is saying that God saying, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body. Now, turn over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Just go over a few chapters. Go over to Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse 12. We're looking at scripture to support that there's three parts here, a spirit, a soul, and a body. So look at chapter 4 of Hebrews in verse 12. For it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of what? Asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we can see here that it would not be biblically accurate to say that the spirit and soul are the same. They're different. What did we say before? Any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creature. Well, your soul didn't get changed. It needs to be renewed. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. Well, that can't be brand new, can it? So if he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Your spirit's brand new. It needs to be fed, but it doesn't need to be renewed. Why? Because it's brand new. But your soul has to be renewed. How's it be renewed? On the word of God. And this here is the devil's playground, what I call it. This is where the devil has access. He does not have access to your spirit. The devil has no access to your spirit unless you give him access. Just the same way you gave God access through Christ. You said, Jesus, come into my spirit. No man can be taken over by the devil. That's a person that's possessed. And if you're brand new, you're possessed of God. You have him living in you now. But your soul, your spirit, and your spirit are not the same. That's what this is saying here. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So they're different. And this is why there's such a struggle sometimes with individuals, because they've come to Christ, they're brand new, their hearts are changed, and they're still looking at the damage. They're still meditating on what happened to them or what they're in the middle of, or all the issues of life, and they've never really gotten a revelation of who they are in Christ. Why? Because their soul has not been renewed. If you've got 130 scriptures of who you are in Christ, you need to have God introduce to you who you are. You're brand new. You don't even know who you are. You need God to introduce you through the scripture as to who you are now are in Christ. Because the devil and this world are going to tell you all kinds of junk as to who you are based on what they see, based on what they've come to a conclusion on. Oh no, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ now that lives in me. And he has made me a new creature and an overcomer in life. That's right. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith in who? Faith in Christ. I'm a brand new creature. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. So we need to have a mind renewal. This is why there's the struggle in this realm. So your spirit contacts the spiritual realm. You contact God through your spirit. And this soul contacts this intellectual and emotional realm. And this body contacts this physical realm. So you can see there are three parts to us. There's a spirit that contacts the spiritual realm. It's the realm that God lives in. We contact God through our spirit. He speaks to our spirit. He lives in our spirit. He's made our spirit brand new. He didn't make your soul brand new. It has to be renewed. He didn't make your body brand new. This body is corruptible. It's been tainted by sin, Adam's fall. But the same spirit, see, that's why it's so exciting. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens and gives life to this mortal body by being in Christ. The same life that's in Christ is in me. The same life that's in heaven is in me. The same life that's in the Father is in me. I'm not bound by sickness anymore. I'm redeemed from sickness. I'm not bound from being a dodo. I have intellect now. I've got his mind. I've got the mind of Christ. How do I have that? Because Christ now lives in me. I have eternal life living inside me. And it's coursing through my body and my mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's turn to another scripture, James. You're in Hebrews. Go right over to James chapter 1. And let's look at verse 21 and 22. James chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting something out of this. Glory to God. James chapter 1. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Boy, I got big words. And receive, this is what I want to focus on. And receive with what? Meekness. The engrafted word, which is able to do what? Save your soul. That's not your spirit. That's your soul. It's able to save your soul. Hallelujah. So the word of God, implanted or engrafted into the soul of man, has the ability and the power to change or save our soul. It's able to change it, transform it. So this word, save, where it says that it's able to save a man's soul, that word is called sozo, S-O-Z-O in the Greek. This is a definition of that word. That word sozo, it means to save, it means to deliver, it means to protect. It means to heal. It means to preserve. It means to make well. It means to make whole. So it's able. So now let me read this. You could read it this way. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save, heal, protect, preserve, make well, and make your soul well. It can heal my soul. This was something I read also, and I knew about this just walking with the Lord for a number of years. there was this going around in Christian circles for a while. And it was not in all circles, but it was starting to creep in a lot in our area. And people were saying that you need to go for inner healing. Anybody ever hear about that? No? Well, it was big for a while. In other words, you needed inner healing. No, you don't need inner healing. Your spirit is brand new. My spirit has the life of God in it. I don't need inner healing. I need my mind renewed. That's the problem. You need your mind healed and restored. Your emotions have been damaged. Your spirit now is brand new. It's redeemed. It has the life of God in it. But your emotions could have been affected and damaged by life. And so it needs to be restored. It needs to be healed and made brand new. It needs to be transformed. Hallelujah. So it's not, excuse me, this isn't inner healing. What did it say? It says here, let's read Hebrews 4 again. For the word of God, what is it? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit. So when I accept Christ, I have eternal life inside my spirit. My spirit is brand new. It's redeemed. But if you've gone through a very disastrous life, you could be born again and still stuck in the ditch. Literally. You got a brand new spirit. You're an overcomer, and the devil keep you stuck in that place. And you're still looking at your conditions. You need a mind change. You need your mind renewed and restored. Saved is what the word says. Isn't that what it said? It says here that receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Hallelujah. And let me just, there's so much to meditate on. Just kind of just start and touch on this. We're gonna touch next week on being engrafted in Christ and your identity, your identification in and with Christ. What does that mean? Who do you identify with? You know, people today, they want to identify with some celebrity, or they want to identify, you know, they want to be like Mike when he was playing ball, whatever. Whoever you want to identify with, no, I want to identify, and I do identify with Christ. He's my Savior. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Hallelujah. I like this. Let me read this scripture here. There was a translation. I was reading this Wednesday. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. This is kind of a Colossians chapter 3. And let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. If you're a brand new creature, then you've arisen with Christ. But verses 1 and 2 and 3, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, do what? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, or my margin says mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Listen to this in the Living Bible in verse 3 of Colossians chapter 3. It says, You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God. We should have as little desire for this life as a dead person does. That begins to paint a picture. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. My life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. And this process is a lifelong process. This process of renewing the mind is a process where I begin to walk closer and closer with God, and I become more aware of who's in me. You know, Brother Hagin used to say it. For years, he would say it. We need to be more God inside minded. What does that mean? That means I need to be more aware of him than me. I need to be aware of this life and this nature that's in me. I need to be more aware of that than my external. And so the more I am aware, I become more God inside minded. I'm less affected by the things of this world. I'm not moved by what I see or feel or touch. I'm moved only by the Word of God. I'm moved because I've got life in me. I've got His life living in me. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I'm kind of finished. I don't want to start up and get on something else. But let's just close. We're in Colossians. Let's go back to chapter 1. And let's look at verses 13 and 14. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom," this is in Christ, "in whom," in Christ, "we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." He sees us in Christ through the blood of Jesus. We've been forgiven of all sins. We're brand new. We're a new creature. Don't let people of this world drag you, cause you to meditate on something that's not written in the Word about you and who you are. You meditate on the Word of God. You meditate on who you've become in Christ. In Christ. Say, "I'm in Christ. I'm no longer the same. I've got a brand new nature. I've got a brand new ability in Him." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless God. Bless God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.